Revelation chapter 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made to drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God had put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, if there's a key verse to that whole chapter, it's that last verse, talking about Mystery Babylon, the great, that great mother of harlots. The woman, verse 18, which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, we saw six of these vials or bowls being poured out, and we saw the sun being affected, and all nature being affected, really, and men and women having boils and sores and being blistered, and the water turning into blood. Now, on this seventh one, that seventh angel, which had the seventh vial, he took John up and he showed him something before he did anything. And what he showed him was that great city called Babylon. Babylon. Now, Babylon is mentioned 287 times in the Scriptures. 287 times that word Babylon is used in the Scriptures. That's more, listen now, that is more than any other city except one. Can you tell me what the other one would be? Jerusalem. So these are at odds with each other. They're the opposite of each other, if you understand what I mean. Babylon was a literal city on the river Euphrates. I don't know if y'all remember it or not, but Saddam Hussein was rebuilding Babylon. He was rebuilding it before the war there that we had with him. He had rebuilt the arches. He had rebuilt some big giant statues like of Nebuchadnezzar. He had rebuilt some big old giant buildings and a temple and stuff like that. And he thought that he could once again raise up Babylon and be the ruler of the world like Babylon at one time was. Now, Babylon was later on, it was the capital of the empire that mistreated the Jews so bad. They invaded Israel and they mistreated the Jews so bad and took a lot of them as slaves. And those familiar with the Old Testament, they know that Babylon is always associated with what? Idolatry, false worship, false gods, always. It's associated with blasphemy against the work of God and blasphemy against the ceremonies of God. Babylon always represents the opposite of what the true church is. Always, always. And it's always the opposite of what Jerusalem was. And if you'll go back and you'll study Babylon, you'll remember that it started, and I told y'all this last week, I think. It started whenever the ark landed, and they came down off the ark, and they went down into the valley and built a tower. Do you remember what name that tower was? Tower of Babylon. And that, I told you last week, that's where the star worship started. They weren't building a tower to God. They just stayed up on the mountain, did that. They went down there and they said, let's plan our own future. And so what they did, they invented the what do you call the star thing? Astrology. They invented astrology. So Babylon has always been the opposite of what God wanted. And so that's where the city of Babylon came from, was the Tower of Babylon. Now, in John's day, when this was written, Babylon, it epitomized everything that was anti-Christ in Babylon. Everything in Babylon at that time in John's day epitomized everything that was anti-Christian. It was the an attitude. It was a spirit of Antichrist, Babylon. And right here in John chapter 17, here it is again. We see it again. Now, listen now. That spirit never has left the planet Earth. There's ever since the Tower of Babel, there's been a spirit of Antichrist. We studied that the other week. Y'all remember? There's not just a Antichrist, but there's a spirit of Antichrist, and what that is a spirit, a feeling, a movement, or what all these things get together of anything that's contrary to Jesus Christ and His will and His way. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, that originated at the Tower of Babel. And then now we see it in John chapter 17, and it's come home to roost. Now all of that is back at Babylon. Now, Rome, the old Rome, is typical of the old Babylon. If you'll go read church history, and I'm trying to remember the name of that book. Oh, The Two Babylons. There was a book put out by a man named Alexander Hyslop back in the 1800s, and he took everything about Rome and the religion and the lifestyle and the ceremonies and the priesthood, and he took everything about the Babylonian lifestyle and the priesthood and the religion, and he compared them, and they're almost exactly the same. When you go to a Catholic church, you're really in a Babylonian church. There's no priest with vestments in the New Testament. Those are Babylonian. The Babylonian priest wore a long black gown with a backward white collar. And they called him Father. And they worshipped the Queen of Heaven. And they offered her up cakes, bread. And if you go back, if you'll study the Babylonian religion and the Babylonian teachings, you'll find Rome and Babylon look a whole lot alike. Their religion, their lifestyle, everything looks a whole lot alike. And not only that, but commercially they look alike. Babylon was at one time the richest city on planet Earth. Because of trade and commerce and religion, they were the richest city on earth. And now, you may not believe this, but the Vatican, which calls itself it calls itself its own city, the Vatican is the richest city on earth. Did you know the Vatican has its own money? They have their own commerce. They have gold, unbelievable gold. How many of y'all have ever watched and I know it's hard to watch, the Christmas thing on TV and that the Pope does every year? Have any of y'all ever seen that? Comes on at midnight. It does midnight mass. Oh, my goodness. The only reason I ever watched it because I used to have to put bicycles and stuff together on Christmas night, and that's all it was on back then. But it shocked me. Everything in that Vatican's covered with gold. I mean, gold, huge, just coated with gold. And all the priests wear those Babylonian garments. And they do the Babylonian religion thing. You know, they do the religious ceremonies that Babylon did. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. This is not something that did happen. This is something that is happening. And it's something that's going to happen even more during the tribulation period. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, go back and look with me. Now, look at verse 1 and 2, chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked to me, saying, "Come unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made to drink the wine of her fornication." Now, there's two religious systems. The Babylonian, I just got through telling you, the Babylonian religious system also controlled a lot of commerce. So therefore, the kings of the earth had to do business with Babylon in order to prosper. Y'all still with me? All right, now today, Babylon's not there. Saddam Hussein tried to rebuild it. We bombed it. But Rome is still there, and it's sitting on seven hills, just like this says. And all the kings of the earth do business with the Vatican. And you say, "No, preacher, we don't do it." Yes, we do. In all of South America, is controlled and influenced by the Catholic Church. There's not a country in South America or Central America that is not controlled and influenced by the Catholic Church. If the Catholic Church said we're pulling out our churches, we're pulling our money out, South America, Central America, economies would collapse. You know why? Even though those people are poor, they believe in giving to the Catholic Church because they think they're buying their way to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Any of y'all ever been a Catholic? You know what I'm saying, don't you? And is that not what Martin Luther protested over in the first place, was indulgences? For $20, you can commit this sin and it won't be a sin. For $50, you can commit this sin, it won't be a sin. That's what the Protestant Reformation was all about to start with. They called them indulgences. You could indulge in certain things if you gave certain amounts of money to the church. South America, Central America is full of that stuff, still full of it. You go to the priest, you go in that little box, you know, and you talk to a man that wears a gown, he's not a woman. And you call him a father, and he's never been married and had children. And you say, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." And Jesus said, nobody on earth has power to forgive you. Nobody. Nobody down here. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Nobody else can pray for you and get your sins forgiven. Nobody. If they could, then Jesus died for nothing. And so you go in that little box, and they got a little screen. And did you know they did the exact same thing in the Babylonian religion? They had a little box and a little screen, and they had to confess to the priest, and he'd tell them how many prayers to pray and how much money to pay penance in the offering plate. So right now, even though Babylon's gone, riches, and all those kings that do business with Babylon, all the governments of the world do business with the Vatican. You don't think so? The United States has an embassy in the Vatican. We just started that under Obama. We never recognized the Vatican like that before. But countries of the world send embassies and emissaries to the Vatican to do business with the Catholic Church. It's the most powerful organization on planet Earth. It's the largest organization on planet Earth. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? The few people in Europe that still claim to be Christians, most of them's Catholic. The few people in Eastern Europe, like Czechoslovakia and all that, the few that claim to be Christians, most of them are Eastern Orthodox, which ain't nothing but a break off from the Catholic Church, and they'll go back when the Antichrist comes. They do the same thing. The only country in the world that really didn't have to do business with the Vatican was the United States of America. Now we do business with them. You know why? It's getting closer to that end and closer to that end. And see, that's why, as we read, he called her a great harlot. He called that city. Now, cities in the Bible are called her. Jerusalem's called a her. The heavenly Jerusalem's called a her. The church is called a her. Amen? We're the bride. Come on, help me. So he's talking about that city. And did you know that it's getting set up now to where that the Bible calls it, we just read it. Go back and read it again. He said in verse 1, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. That waters represents many people. The oceans, the people that cross those oceans. We studied that the other week. And he says, I'm going to show you judgment on this great. Now, why would he call that? Well, go on and look back. He says, let's see. I've lost. Here it is. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drink with the wine of her fornication. Now, I told you last week, this is spiritual fornication. It's not physical. You can't commit physical fornication. There's no woman here. It's a symbolic woman of that church, that organization, the great Babylon, the great whore. And when it says fornication, what it's saying is a nation and people that claim to be Christians are doing business with the heathen organization, a Babylon organization. You understand what I'm saying? So we're committing, when we do that, and that's why I tell, the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate. The Bible tells us that because when we go out in that world and we participate in things of the world with the people of the world, we're committing spiritual fornication, and it's not always about sex. It's a spiritual fornication. We're becoming one spirit with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why the Catholic Church, I'll never forget, I was on an airplane one time going somewhere to preach, Iowa or somewhere, and this woman sat down beside me. I was dressed about like this. She said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm a Baptist pastor. I'm going somewhere to preach. She said, oh, you mean like a priest? I said, no, ma'am, no. Not like a priest, no. There's no such thing as a priest in the New Testament. No such thing. And when men that claim to be Christians also claim to be priests, they're committing spiritual fornication with another religion. It ain't Christianity. Catholicism, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, Catholicism is not New Testament Christianity. Come on. Hey, I'm sorry if your grandma was one. I'm sorry if your grandpa was a deacon in the Catholic Church or whatever. But it's spiritual fornication for those who believe the Bible, those who have been born again by the grace of God, and saved by the grace of God, and kept by the grace of God, and experienced the grace of God, is spiritual fornication for those of us who have experienced all those things to participate in any other organization that does not go by this book. I don't care if it's the Masons or the Shriners. I don't care if it's the JCs. I don't care who it is. And what he's saying is, all these kings of all the earth, all these nations, are coming to Rome in order to do business, and by doing that, they're committing spiritual fornication. They're having an illicit relationship spiritually with a whole nother religion. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? Oh, okay. Let's just go over what a Christian is. Nod your head or say amen if I'm saying what a Christian is. Christianity, number one, we have a final authority called the Bible. It is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Say amen. It's inerrant, it's inspired, it's infallible, it's without any mixture of error, and that's our book. That's what we go by. Amen. We wouldn't know there was a heaven if there wasn't a Bible. We wouldn't know there was a hell if there wasn't a Bible. We wouldn't know about Jesus if there wasn't a Bible. We wouldn't know how to be saved if there wasn't a Bible. So our book, our final authority, where we go to get the final word, is the Word of God. Is that true? All right, that's biblical Christianity. And the Catholic Church is not. It's the church. It's the organization of the church is the final authority. They have, and read the writings, they said this. By the way, get a Dewey Reams Bible. It ain't nothing like a King James Bible. That's a Catholic translation. And they say this. The Catholic Church, since they say they wrote the Bible, they have the authority to change it anytime they want to. And then they have another law. When the Pope comes out on his little porch, he's got a little porch there. Y'all seen him on the porch? And he'll go, domino, you know. And when he speaks what they call ex cathedra, that means with the authority of the cathedral, the authority of the Catholic Church, when he speaks, he's speaking in Christ's place, and it's the Word of God, whether it agrees with the Bible or not. Okay, biblical Christianity disagrees with that. Biblical Christianity says Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. There's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. That's biblical Christianity. Am I telling the truth? We don't need a Pope. There's no hope in the Pope. We don't need another Savior. We've got a Savior. Amen? But now in the Catholic Church, yes, He's the Savior, but you can only get to Him through the Catholic Church. Biblical Christianity says that once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have eternal life. He said it. He that believes on me shall never die. That's what He said. We believe that. A lot of other scriptures say the same. But now the Catholic Church says this, as long as you die within the Catholic Church and you're a good member in standing with the Catholic Church and you've gone through all the seven holy rites of the Catholic Church, the last one being last rites where they do the mumbo jumbo of your dead body, you can't go to heaven without that. So Jesus wasn't enough. Y'all see what I'm saying? All right. And then, if every Catholic service is the same, everyone, I don't care if it's a wedding or a funeral, or they have a, what they call a mass. Baptist church, we have a mass. Catholic church has a mass. But that Catholic priest, he'll get up there on that little table, and this little boy will bring him a goblet of wine, and it's real alcoholic wine, by the way. Big old goblet of wine, and they'll bring him some wafers. And he'll take those wafers and he'll put them on this little thing and he'll hold them up and he'll say, domino, domino, and according to him, those wafers turn into the flesh of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, except you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no part of me. And he meant that figuratively, but the Catholic Church, do you know why he does that? You know why he does that? Because he's holding it up to the Queen of Heaven. Have you ever noticed that cross behind him? It's got like a sun in the middle of it with the rays shining on. Y'all ain't never noticed that? That's representing the Queen of Heaven. And he's holding up those cakes of bread to the Queen of Heaven. That's Babylonian. That's what they did. And then he says it turns into the real flesh. And then he'll put that down, and he'll take that goblet, and then the Baptist church will do water, okay? And he'll take that goblet, and he'll hold it up there, and he'll go, I'm in there, you know. And he says it turned into the real blood of Jesus Christ. Really? And then you got to go forward, and they'll hold that little plate up under your chin. You know why? You can't let the body of Jesus hit the ground. They believe it's really his flesh. And they're real careful about not letting it hit the ground, because that would desecrate the sacrament. By the way, there's no sacraments in the Bible. And then then you may, it depends on what service it is, what they're doing, they may give you a drink out of that cup. They may not. And then at the end of it, you'll see him. He'll get up there on that table and he'll brush all these little crumbs and stuff. He's real careful about brushing them up. And then he dumps them in that goblet. And he drinks them. And he really thinks he's drinking the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Babylonians did the same thing in the Babylonian religion, except they had a sun god and had a queen of heaven. How many of y'all ever heard them call Mary the queen of heaven? How many of you ever heard them call Mary the mother of God? The mother of God, same one. The queen of heaven had a child, and it died, and it came back to life. In the story. And so now, for you and I, as biblical Christians that believe the Word of God, for us to intermingle with those kind of things, that's blasphemy. That's spiritual fornication. For you and I to go sit in a church and participate in that. Now, I've been to a wedding and I've been to a funeral, but I did not participate. I just watched. I went for that couple. Or that dead person. I did not drink the wine. I did not go forward. I just sat there. Now, it's spiritual fornication. And there's all kinds of spiritual fornication. Anytime you get involved in a cult or something and you're a real believer. But the point here is, there is coming a city that sits on seven hills, Rome. And 10 kings are coming to it. The United Nations. And they're going to pledge, we just read, they're going to pledge their allegiance to this city and this dragon, the Antichrist. And they're going to follow him to the end. And did you know, y'all remember Jim Jones, you know, they all drank the Kool-Aid. And we make fun of it now. They say, well, he drank the Kool-Aid, you know, if you get involved in something. But you know, there's a lot of so-called Christians drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is not dying, it's growing. While the Baptist churches are dying. It's the truth. Baptisms in the past 10 years in Baptist churches have went, has here, plummeted. The Catholic Church has more members in it than it's ever had in the history of man. It's getting stronger and richer every day. And listen, when old Antichrist comes, he's going to walk out one day. And what does the Pope do when he walks out? He goes, peace. And the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to come shouting peace and safety. And he's going to promise these Catholics, they're going to say, this is the Pope we've been looking for right here. This is God in the flesh, man. He has come to straighten things out. And all the kings of the earth, all the nations, all the presidents will flock to Rome. they'll flock to Rome. 2 years ago, the Pope said this. He said, we and the Muslims are brothers. He said, we have the same God. We believe in the same God. We're brothers. Well, they really are. They do have the same God. But it's the wrong God. Amen? Now, Revelation 17, I got to quit. I'm running out of time. But Revelation 17, did you know that in Revelation 17 they worship idols? It's a religious system that worships idols. How many of y'all have ever really been in a Catholic church? You ever been in one? If you want to go in one that'll make you sick, go down to Charleston, South Carolina, that big Catholic church down there. And I'm telling you, it's gigantic. And when you walk in, all around the, and it's huge, all around the walls up here, about 15 feet off the floor, are these life-size statues. And it's supposed to be the saints and the apostles. And when you first go in, there's a little thing to wash your hands in. I didn't wash my hands in that nasty thing. Stunk. And then you go over here, you can buy a candle. And then you can take that candle and go to any one of those idols that you want to pray for you, and you light that candle and put it up in front of it, and they expect that whoever that saint is going to pray for them. And you look up there on the right back here, behind the pulpit, there's a big, gigantic cross with a life-size Jesus still hanging on the cross. And you know, Jesus hanging on that cross doesn't offend not one person. Because he's a dead man. It's the empty cross that offends people. It's the resurrected Savior that offends people. And the Muslims can look at that cross and say, well, he was a good man, just like Muhammad. And the Buddhists can look at that cross and say, well, he was a good man, just like Buddha. Because he's still dead. He's still hanging on the cross. And you see, all these religions can come together and get along fine in Rome. Every one of them. But the bad news for them is they don't know. The bad news is, oh yeah, verse 3. She's sits upon scarlet colored beast. Scarlet and gold and purple. Purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And the Catholic Church's colors, by the way, are gold and scarlet. And upon her head is written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. The Catholic Church has killed more Christians than any heathen organization on planet Earth. The Catholic Church has killed Christians. And that's what he's talking about. She was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. If you go on down, he says the whole world's going to wonder after her with great admiration. And then he talks about, listen, look at verse 7. I mean 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. In other words, the city of Rome sits on seven hills, y'all. And there are seven kings. And then there's some more. And then there's the beast in verse 11. And then verse 12, there's 10 kings that come at that last hour. And verse 13 says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And then verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. Now look, we live in a dark hour, and it looks like the old devil's crowd, well, it looks like they're on top. They're rich, they've got power, they've got religion, they've got everything that the world thinks religion looks like and ought to have. And then here's poor little old Baptist churches all over the country, 30, 40, 60 people. The average Baptist church in America is about 60 to 100. And boy, they think we huddled up in a corner over here, scared to death that the Pope's going to come get us. They don't know that we've already read the book, and it says that the King is coming. Amen? And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's coming. And He's going to make war with the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist and the false church, Mystery Babylon. And we ain't going to read it tonight. Ain't going to be a few more Wednesday nights, but I've read the end of it, and we win. We win. Look, don't you ever look down on poor little old Baptist and say, poor little old Baptist. No, sir. Hey, He's coming for us. And we're going to be out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the trump of God's going to sound, and the dead in Christ's going to rise first, and then we, which alive remains, shall be caught up together with them in the air, and we're going to be changed, and guess what? We're not going to be poor little old Baptists no more. We're going to be glorified saints. And then when He comes back riding that white horse, Brother Jimmy, guess where I'm going to be? Right behind Him, riding the white horse. And it says He's going to make war with the beast and the false prophet and Babylon. And guess what? I ain't going to have to do nothing, because Jesus is going to destroy them with the words of His mouth. That's where the sword's coming from. The word of God's quick. That means it's alive. You're bit down, you're quick. The word of God's quick. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And when He comes, He's just going to speak the word, and the blood's going to flow to the horse's bridle. God's going to kill them all. I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got to do nothing. Jimmy, I got a little old weight set at the house. I try to keep my upper strength. I know I intimidate y'all when I take my coat off. I try to keep me some upper strength. And it does pretty good. I can't do a lot because I hurt my spine right there. But I get me a little bit. I know you throw bricks. You don't need a weight set. But I try to keep. But guess what? I'm not working out to get strong to beat the devil. The devil's already beat. He's already lost. He is a defeated foe, and all I have to do is follow the horse in front. Amen. I follow the man in front, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ain't got to do nothing. All I got to do, same way I got saved, the same way He's kept me, I just ride behind Him and He clears the way. Amen? All I have to do is trust Him. Amen? All I got to do is trust Him. People say, preacher, that kind of stuff scares me. Scared me before I got saved. Well, pastor, that book of Revelation, I don't read it. It gives me nightmares. Get right with God. It'll make you happy. I wish I would have some dreams about it. Man, it's been a long time since I had a dream about the book of Revelation. I wish I would have one. I get excited thinking about it. And guess what? In a day, in an hour, when you think not. Now listen, that was 2017 years ago that was written. Think how much closer we are today. I know we're 2017 years closer. Amen? So I think it could be any day, don't you? Mystery Babylon's already there. Rome's the most powerful church in the world, the Catholic Church. It's the largest, most powerful, the richest. It's just waiting for the Antichrist to come sit on the throne, occupy it. That's all. So any day, come up hither. I'm out of here, buddy. I ain't scared. Matter of fact, somebody gave me a hat. It's in my office in there. It says it right across there. I ain't scared. That's what it says. I ain't scared. Didn't say I'm not afraid. It says I ain't scared. I got to get my hat back out and start wearing it again. I'm looking forward to it. Amen? Now next Wednesday night, come back and I'll give you more details on that great harlot Babylon. Okay? Let's stand.